You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome in to a Thursday edition. I always forget what day of the week these are posting of the Locked On Pacers podcast. Just me today, Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News. I'll be hosting this one while Adam did the early episode, so it's my turn this closing out this week. We didn't get a chance to talk about the Warriors game on yesterday's show, or I guess today. It's hard to say this. Wednesday's show that you have already listened to, it's a Wednesday for me now. We didn't get to talk about the Warriors game, so I will talk a little bit about that, some trends, some fun stuff from a not surprising win, but, you know, it's the Warriors, and they were down 15 at one point, so it was kind of a surprising win. I'll talk about what I liked and didn't like in that game. And then I'll preview the game against the Kings as well as I can. If you'll remember the first time they played the Kings, I had Cam Stewart on, who is more of a Pacers guy, Indianapolis-based journalist. And then this time I emailed a few people, but I couldn't get a Kings specialist to come on and do this with me. So unfortunately, the Kings will join the Magic in the teams that me and Adam did not get a guest for the whole season. Huge bummer. We like it when we can get someone on from the other team's perspective to really tune in and actually let you know what's going on with that team instead of us just kind of, you know, knowing some stuff about basketball and reading a B-Ball ref page at you. But I'll do my best. I've watched a few Kings games because I really like Scal. But we'll talk about them later. I think the starting point should be that Warriors game from Tuesday night. You know, I really like watching Golden State. I love all the big four. I hate that I had to say this, but I have a Steph Curry jersey. You know, I know a lot of people don't like him, really like him. So I was disappointed not to see those guys play. But I do like when the Pacers have a nicer path to the playoffs. So I was excited that they could have a chance to put this one in the win column, something that wouldn't have happened had the Warriors before been playing. And in the first quarter, and really the first half, they just looked incredibly flat and had no interest in really taking this game from Golden State. You know, Quinn Cook hit a just bomb on like the Warriors' second or third possession, and Andre Iguodala had a tough end one, and like shots were just falling for Golden State that without their big four you wouldn't have expected to go in. And it just looked disheartening for the Pacers at first too. Maybe it was just travel, who knows? But they couldn't really get their feet under them at first. They were kind of sloppier, and most of the, it felt like a lot more of their turnovers. They only had 10, by the way, so that was awesome. They really took care of the ball. But it felt like they had a lot more mistakes in the first half than the second, which I'll talk more about that change later. I talk a lot. Okay, I have to, like, vent. So these episodes I do by myself, you know, you're talking the whole time, and I'm kind of a fast talker just in general, and I forget to breathe, and then I have these pauses where I take these deep breaths. And I took the stairs up to my seventh floor apartment before I did this episode. So sorry if I take a lot of like awkward breathing breaths. I'm doing some banter by myself, which is fun. But yeah, this game started off horribly. And I think the lead got as bad as 15 for Golden State before the Pacers' second half. The defense just really took off. They only allowed 33 points in the whole second half. And they were finding a way to finally manufacture some points. Oladipo got some corner threes, which I think Adam already tweeted it, but I don't know. But he's hitting an absurd percentage on corner threes this year, and that was huge. He had an awesome game. You know, right after we talk about how he really struggled over the weekend, Victor comes in and goes 9 of 12, hits 2 of his 3 threes, plays awesome defense on Pat McCaw. You know, he was just everywhere. He was a huge, huge, huge factor in this victory. You know, being plus 7 in 32 minutes is huge, and every starter was a plus except for Miles, who I'll talk about later, but yeah, Vic was awesome in this game, especially in the second half. You know, he was dribbling around. He was finding other guys. 6 assists, led the team. And in the first half, a lot of the struggles were Turner, who was the only negative starter, as I just said. Mark Monty tweeted this, but I actually noted it myself, too. I'm not going to take credit. He got the word out before me. But doesn't it seem like Turner's fading a little bit more, like fading away a little bit more on his jumpers recently? And he's a little short on them. And I know it could just be that he's like just missing because he's made some of these shots before, but he's like landing behind where he starts, even on just like open jumpers. It's not like a fade, I guess. It's just he's not jumping to make the shot easier. And I don't know if it's affecting him or if I'm just like just noticing it or something. I don't know. But he was only 2 of 7, missed his three, missed half his free throws, and only 3 rebounds, which was massive. The Pacers were terrible on the glass in this game. They got out rebounded 38-51. And the Warriors had 17 offensive rebounds. JaVale McGee was killing everybody. And that's a lot of Booker missing time, so Sabonis had to play more, and he was tired because he just missed time, and just that they haven't been historically a great rebounding team this year, but JaVale was eating in there. Kevon Looney had 11 rebounds. Kevon Looney, he's a power forward. And Pachulia only had 2, so it was really on the second unit was more where that happened, but Miles was not good on the glass or shooting the ball, but he made up for it with his good deep. 2 blocks, and he just deterred. He was the only guy with a block, and the Warriors are pretty good at shot selection, so he's good at that. He got one on Jordan Bell really early in the game. That was really nice. He just deters shots at the rim. Even when he doesn't get blocks, he's important at the rim, less so in space or just in the paint, but at the rim. And that was in this one, too, but like I said, with that Iguodala and one and the Quinn Cook bomb, and the Warriors were just finding ways to score early. And they took, oh, and Sean Livingston hitting every mid-ranger. Sean Livingston's a fun player to watch. I don't know why, but, Golden State was just up 15. And then all of a sudden the defense started clicking, you know, Collison shut down Quinn Cook a couple possessions in the second half. They kept forcing Pat McCaw to miss. Jordan Bell, only 2 of 7, the best shooting Warrior. Excuse me. I tweeted this. The most shots made by any Warrior was 5. That's crazy. Steph makes that many threes like every game when he plays. That just shows how much of the clamps Indiana was able to put down in the second half. And then they also got better shooting. Bojan just absolutely lit it up in the second half. I think he had like 14 or 12 of his 17. He was a plus 16 in the game. He like spurred a fourth quarter run. And then Thad was hitting the glass in the second half a lot harder. He finished with 10 boards. And then we finally saw Glenn Robinson appear. He got a steal and led to a 360 dunk. And the team just looked like they finally had life that they didn't have in the first half. On both ends of the floor, and they just push right back through it. You know, this team's story all year has been comebacks, big comebacks, and somehow I keep thinking they're impossible when they go down 15 on the road against the defending champs, but they'd found a way to do it, and I really would credit it to the defense and Bojan shooting in the second half. He was just opening up everything for everybody, and they were really getting into everybody's face. You know, Darren Collison actually played okay defense, like that's rare for him. So credit to everybody, really, for the good defense. David West, former Pacer, only 3 of 8. He usually is, he's like an efficiency monster this season. So keeping him from shooting well was something else. And then Nick Young started off hot, too. I missed him. He made like 2 of his first 3 shots and finished 4 of 11 because Vic figured out how to guard him. So all in all, a solid defensive win, which JJ, Jeremiah Johnson just tweeted all this out, but they've been like top 5 in defense since January 1st and like 30th in pace. You know, they've really kind of, it seems like changed their play style, but more of refined their play style from earlier in the season. But they're finding a way to win games, and they won this game. And now, you know, I didn't think they'd win at Golden State, and they did. So just add another tough win to the schedule, and they'll continue to push for the playoffs. But their next game will be in Sacramento, and it will not be as tough. So the Kings, as me and Adam talked about yesterday, just stink. And they're injured everywhere, and I didn't think there would be much to this game. They beat the Kings already pretty handily at home, and now they are worse without George Hill, the guy they got for George Hill, which was, in theory, supposed to just be Iman Shumpert and a second-round pick in cash. Iman Shumpert's injured and probably won't play the rest of the year, so really they just got a pick in cash for him. Poor George Hill. But the storyline of this game might not actually be on the court, and I've completely forgot to discuss this with Adam. There's some controversy in Sacramento over a police shooting, and there have been protests every game outside the arena, and I don't know who their opponent was, but 2 games ago the Kings actually had to have their fans who were already in the stadium in the upper bowl come down to the lower bowl just to, you know, kind of populate and have some noise. And that's something to wonder. There might be protests outside the arena, so the game could have some attendance differences. I don't know what the right word is there. But Sacramento is in the middle of a lot, and their owner spoke on the issue during that game when they had fans come down. So there could be a lot to monitor there. And it probably will be more to monitor than the game because the Kings just stink so much. You know, their best players, including Indianapolis, like an hour north, native Zach Randolph, who hasn't been playing, he's been ill, and then injuries to some of their better players. They just have nothing. And Adam and I kind of agreed that Buddy Hield might be the only guy on the Kings who, like, if he catches fire, they could, in theory, make it a game. Just because he has that streaky ability, and he'll be on the second unit, and he'll probably be guarded by Lance, who could fall asleep on a meaningless road game with a small crowd. But, he's the only guy that I can really see having some sort of crazy impact. Like Willie Cauley-Stein is probably going to be one of their starting big men. He can hit the glass, and he's a high flyer. He can't really shoot or space out anybody. He can't chase miles around the perimeter. You know, unless he gets like 20 rebounds, he won't be a big factor. And you know, a lot of their other good players, like Costa Kufos is just a guy, and Iman Shumpert's hurt, Garrett Temple's hurt, and then Justin Jackson's going to start at the three. Like, he's a rookie, and he can hit the three ball pretty well, almost 40%. So promising career coming from him, I think, if he figures out some defense. But right now, all he can really do is shoot. He's got nothing off the dribble, and that's probably the perfect kind of guy for Bojan to guard, which is great. So I look forward to that matchup. Vince Carter's awesome too, but he's slow and old, and outside of maybe a highlight dunk, he's not going to do much to kill you. Zach Randolph, don't even know if he's going to play. Their Bogdanović is actually pretty solid too, but I imagine he'll start and Vic can guard anybody. So no thing to worry about there. So the only two people I haven't said are their point guard rotation now, which is Frank Mason III and De'Aaron Fox, who are both rookies. So rookie point guards are always terrible. Both, they're not, it's hard to talk about rookie point guards because outside of like Magic Johnson and Chris Paul, none of them ever have come in and been like a positive player. So it's not saying they're bad. It's just like history. And De'Aaron Fox is really fast and he's really starting to figure it out. And I like him a lot more than stats say, you know, just because I feel like he has a lot of intangible skills in the game. It's just, he's like, once he catches up, I think using his tools, he's going to be one heck of a player. But Frank Mason just has like a ceiling of a backup, and he's not really anything to be bothered about this year. So maybe we undersold that Fox could be like a difference maker, you know, with his speed. Unless Vic guards him, you know, he can cook probably whoever his matchup is. But he can't shoot, and you know, Willie Cauley-Stein can't spread the floor, so they'll have guys waiting for him at the rim. So there's just not a lot this Kings team can do to manufacture points. It's rather 29th in offense. only 104 points for 100 possessions, and if the Pacers play slow, that means the Kings are going to score like 85 points, and the Pacers will almost certainly score more than that. Just some stuff, I guess, on the Kings. They're giving up they are last in defending the three-pointer. I almost said second to last, but they are last in defending the three-pointer, and they themselves actually hit the three pretty well, but they only take the 28th most in the league, so that's backwards. They need to be better at shooting more and stopping more. So just I hope they can get Bojan free and get some bombs because the Kings think of defending those, and I think that's going to be a big deal in this one. And they just don't have anybody who can get the ball into the middle and really make something happen outside of maybe De'Aaron Fox. So I think this is going to be a cakewalk. I think the Kings are actually incredibly boring to watch right now, and it's not really their fault because they, you know, they've been rebuilding now post Cousins, and they just only had 1 year to do it. And if you like watching De'Aaron Fox a lot, you'll enjoy watching the Kings, but I just only kind of enjoy watching De'Aaron Fox. So I think this game will be more about how many minutes guys like Poitras and TJ Leaf get to play than the actual final score. I think the Pacers win handily by like 15 or so, which will be awesome if they can go on this road trip and start off with two wins. That makes the other games just less important. You know, and the one to focus on will really be the Clippers game, which we'll talk about more so Friday and Sunday, I guess. But, you know, this should be an easy one. And I'm going to give the Kings some credit because their rebuild could go well. They have a good head coach. They have some solid young pieces. They're just not there yet. And this one seems like it should be an easy one for the Pacers. And the Kings will be tanking hard. They don't have their pick next year, so they need to make the most of it this year. So maybe 15 is not enough. Maybe they won by 20. But that's all I got for you guys today. If you have any questions or concerns or something like that, you can tweet at me at TEastNBA. You can tweet at the podcast at LockedOnPacers. I will be the one probably recapping this game, so I'll talk to you guys Friday with my Kings recap, a little bit of Clippers preview. Thanks for tuning in.